Hi there, Patreon people. Good Patreon folks. The best kind of folks. The best folks in the world. Better than those free feed losers. boy. So we're going to briefly... This is going to be a short little appendix show. If you're not tired of hearing me talk about the film It, then you... Wait a minute, what did I say? If you're not tired? If you're tired of hearing me talk about the film It, then you're not going to like this. This is some bonus thoughts. Just for you. Just for you, as a way of me making it worth your time, your energy, your resources that you use to support me on the Patreon feed. And thank you for that. And this is one way I can give back to you is by giving you bonus stuff from my dumb brain to your beautiful ears. But I do have to make this quick. And it's just a few notes. I have to make this quick. I have a CrossFit WOD to do. Oh my god, I just thought. Have you ever heard of CrossFit? Maybe I can tell you about it. Have you heard of veganism? I can tell you about that. No, I actually don't do the vegan thing. But I do have my concerns with eating the meat. Just because of the factory food farming stuff. Anyhow, we're not going to talk about that today. No nutrition. We're talking about It Chapter 2. Because I actually went and saw it a second time. That's how much I enjoy these films. I think, or the story, I should say. Okay, and I think Chapter 2 is really well done. That's not a popular opinion. If you read dumb nonsense online like Rotten Tomatoes and all that other crap, that is always wrong. It's always wrong. The mainstream media is lying to you. These websites lie to you. It's a coordinated agenda, as you will hear. I've got something coming up real soon. It's an interview I did with a guy who goes by the name Solomon, and he is in the Illuminati, and he's going to tell us all about it. So there you go. Proof positive. No more need to research or hypothesize. It is a done deal. The Illuminati exists, and he's going to tell you all about it. Is that a good teaser for you? We're going to drop that on you real soon. So stay tuned. Now, what did I see? I went and saw It Chapter 2 a second time because I thought, surely I missed some things. In fact, the first time I went, because, you know, the process I use is I go to these movie theaters, and I used to type it on my phone, but as you could imagine, that's irritating for people who are down the same aisle. I always go in the back row, so I didn't think I was bothering anybody, but a guy saw me when I did Alien Covenant, if you recall my story, and he yelled at me. He yelled at me right at the critical time when in the film, the cyborg David goes in to kiss, what was it? Some other dude. It was like, there's going to be a gay kiss. And right when they went in for the smooch, this guy yells at me. He's like, you're going to be on that thing the whole time? And I'm like, huh? You know, I jumped a little startled. It was a very strange moment. But then I said, okay, all right. I didn't realize everyone could see. I had the brightness all the way down. Didn't matter. Tammy sent me a pen that is utilized for writing in the dark. And I take a little notepad with me. Originally, the second iteration was to take a notepad with a pen, but I couldn't read my own sloppy handwriting because it's much harder to write in the dark than you would imagine. Anyhow, I went back because the first time I went to see It Chapter 2 was opening night, and it was a packed house, and I just went in there to enjoy it, and I did. But then I went back again, this time, able to take notes in case I missed anything. And did I miss some things? Oh my goodness. The beginning of the film, it starts with an intro. You know, you've got the opening intros from New Line Cinema. And in this one, I only caught this the second time. It starts with the deadlights. The deadlights, of course. Oh, and by the way, plot spoilers ahead. So if for some reason you didn't think I was going to go into plot spoiling territory, it's going to happen. Well, let's see here. How bad is it? I mean, I'm not going to reveal the ending or nothing. Like, you can probably listen along, actually. Yeah, you can listen along. Now, at the beginning, I'm just going to reveal a couple of the details of the plot, but they're not anything that's going to blow your mind as far as if you haven't seen the film and you wanted to. New Line Cinema intro has the three deadlights. Of course, the deadlights being the embodiment, the source energy that could trap one's mind. And you saw that in chapter one. It levitated and possessed Beverly, right? And at the beginning of chapter two, you hear her talking to her friends about how when she was in the Deadlights, how she could see all of their futures. And later you find out more about that. But anyhow, the three Deadlights, the swirling lights, they're swirling around the New Line Cinema intro. And I argue that this is a way of telling us that this is a revelation of the method stuff. This is an actual ritual, and you are the initiate. This was just like we saw with 2001 A Space Odyssey, with the monolith, and how the monolith was the same dimensions, proportional, ratio-wise, as the actual screen of the theater. The man, David Bowman, on 2001 gets initiated. The alchemical process, he becomes the enlightened star child, as does the viewer at the same time. And it's the same concept. We're being initiated. That's what the Deadlights are. You are, as the viewer, trapped in the Deadlights, in a trance state, watching the entertainment, watching the themes, the occult ideas. We talked about this earlier with the magic and stuff. And what happens? What happens in the Deadlights? You get the occult powers of divination. That's like Beverly had in Chapter 1 when she was able to, as we find out in Chapter 2, see the futures of the other children. The powers of divination given to us by the demonic evil forces. This is just like you hear with the UFO and alien abductions. The abductee is given these occult powers, the siddhis, as they call it in the Indian culture. We're all being initiated, and that's what the point of that was. Or maybe not. Maybe I'm being absurd. Maybe I'm stretching reality too much. I don't think so. But ultimately, you are the judge of whether or not that's the truth. We find out that you know what, I'm going to tell you plot spoilers because I don't want to dance around anything. I'm very sorry. I wanted to keep this spoiler free, but if you want to see the film, turn off now, come back later. Now, we find out that they say that it must abide by the laws of nature concerning whatever form it takes. What are they talking about? Because it is actually a shape-shifting entity, a reptilian archon, if you will. As David Icke postulates in his quasi-Gnostic teachings, the archons are these shape-shifting entities feeding on fear in our world, which is exactly what it does. It shapeshifts into the form of Pennywise or other things. And you can even hear in Chapter 2, Pennywise talking about the fear. He feels the fear. He smells the fear. That's in the final chamber, the final showdown. He says, I can smell your fear. And that's what's so enticing to Pennywise, is he likes the fear. And how creepy is that when he starts drooling? My God. The guy who plays that character, that Skarsgård fella, he does a great job. And I might add, personal note, the woman who plays Beverly as an adult, her name escapes me. She's got a great scream too, so listen for that when you watch it the next time. Good scream. A good quality horror movie scream is very important. Now, we're talking about it abiding by the laws of nature concerning whatever form it takes. And this reminds me of the Archons, because the claim, as David Icke has suggested, is that these evil entities require fear as a form of sustenance, and the energy that it can harvest from the fear is used to therefore shapeshift into the body of an earthling, a human being, I should say. And that's the form that it's taking. And we also see this concept in The Matrix, okay? Where if in the film The Matrix, if they plug in and they die inside of The Matrix, they die in real life. They are abiding by the laws of nature concerning the form that it's taking. And again, The Matrix is a very Gnostic tale about a prison planet that we are stuck in. Not a theme that I subscribe to, but hey, some people like that idea. I prefer to bury my head in the sand and have a more optimistic view of our world. I want the big bearded, happy Jesus who loves me. That's just a funner version of reality. I don't know that I'm right. I don't know that I'm wrong. Who's to say? And we also see this theme in the film Avatar. They plug in, take on the Avatar in a different dimension, and have to abide by the laws of whatever form they take. Now, you'll recall from the movie, Mike, he went and talked to the Native Americans and stole an artifact from them. And this artifact has carvings of the ancient peoples long before that confronted and tried to defeat it. It being, of course, the evil force. The Demiurge, perhaps, if we want to stick with the Archon Gnostic theme. And to explain what it is it's kind of like this leather cone-looking thing. That the idea is that they're going to confront Pennywise or it and use their tokens, which are, again, a sacrifice. You hear them say that. They say the ritual requires a sacrifice, the ritual of Chud. And that is why they have to go back to all their old stomping grounds and repossess a token of the time before when they had to defeat Pennywise. They say the ritual requires a sacrifice, and it's the tokens that they place into this artifact, which will hopefully imprison it. That's the plan. Not a solid plan, we find out, because the Native Americans were all destroyed before they could get the job done. Now, to look at the ritual artifact cone looking thing, you can see on it that there was a star in the skies and then a star that had fallen from the skies. And I tried to find an image of this online, could not. It must be too early. I should have snapped a damn photo with my phone illegally for you. And hell, maybe I'll go back for a third viewing and do that. Probably not. But and of course the star, the one on the bottom is of course the fallen star. That is it. Which I talked about in the full show. I talked about how it is actually the fallen angel of Lucifer. In my interpretation, okay. But we see the diametric opposites here. We've got the as above, so below of the two stars. It's just like the idea of the black and the white. The black and the white, of course, on the floor of the Freemasonic temple. Same concept. You have to learn and embrace both sides. One isn't bad. It's the white and black magic. It's just two different paths of understanding. It's the left hand and the right hand path. And that is what you see on the ritual artifact. As above, so below, the two stars. And you also see this with Pennywise when he confronts Richie in the park. When he's on top of the Paul Bunyan statue. And he's got the balloons, as you will see, in the inverted pyramid stacked as the inverted pyramid, which you see in the Louvre in Paris with the big glass pyramid inverted up top, but then below it's an upright black pyramid. As above, so below. It's all over the place if you know what to look for and how to decode reality. Finally, I'm trying to wrap this up, man. I got a lot on here, surprisingly more than I thought I would. We're going to talk about, and this is going to be a longer topic, we're going to talk about the Law of Fives. The Law of Fives. This is a concept that I saw. In fact, maybe I will need to watch this a third time. I saw the number, like when I'm watching these movies, I'll look for certain numbers that are of importance or repeated on the film. And I saw the number 5, and I don't recall where. I wasn't cued into it yet. I saw it like a couple times. But then I saw it what I believe to be the third time. And it was when Beverly, as an adult, goes to her apartment. And it's in apartment number 5. And that was when I thought, okay, maybe there's something with these fives. So I started writing down at that point. I don't remember the other examples of what I thought in my insane membrane here previous to that, that I saw it. I also, and we're going to talk about what the law of fives are, but I saw it there when Beverly goes to her apartment. And then I saw it again at the end of the film when you find out how many people survive. 5. There were 7 to begin with. There's only 5 that live through the experience. And you'll also see at the final shot of the film, they zoom out, they pan out, and the movie theater, and it's when they were children in 1989, the movie theater was playing Nightmare on Elm Street 5. Which I looked up, and sure enough, that movie was in fact out in the summer of 1989. Wanted to make sure that director wasn't putting something in, going out of his or her way. I don't know who directed it. I don't get into the director thing. Maybe I should. But Nightmare on Elm Street 5 is playing, The Dream Child. So you got all these fives in there. And then also, the cop car that arrests Henry Bowers as a kid is cop car number 23. Now, how do these things play together? Well, you got the law of fives. It states that all things happen in fives. And this is a concept important in ritual magic, specifically chaos magic. It comes from William S. Burroughs, who was a chaos magician and a writer who shot and killed his wife infamously on accident, supposedly. And it also comes from Robert Anton Wilson, no stranger to the conspiracy world. He wrote the Illuminatus trilogy, a fictional tale that is about Discordianism. And the law of fives, it plays into the number 23. That's why I talked about the cop car being number 23, because in numerology, you've got 2 + 3, which equals 5. Again, law of fives. So 23 is just a rehashing of the law of fives. And if you read, I can't see it, Genesis P. Oldridge wrote a book. Of course, the occultist who was in the band Throbbing Gristle and started a movement of the psychic TV where they had these cells of magicians all over the world focusing their will and attention towards common goals, trying to change reality through the will. Concept we've seen in my analysis of the film Dark City. It's basically magic, okay? Wills. Which you see in the movie, the Battle of Wills is what it takes to defeat it. It's all related. Now, Jim Carrey, if you recall, was in a film called The Number 23, which is based on the same concept. Everything was in the Law of Fives. And he notoriously, infamously requested the salary be $23 million for the film. Now, I wasn't able to find the accurate source for that. That was some... It could be a urban legend. But as you know, Google restructures their search engines to get rid of anything conspiratorial. So I couldn't confirm that. So don't run with that without trying to find that. I gave up on looking for it. I remember hearing it and I tried to look for it to confirm it before I told you, but I don't have all day to look for it. I just know that that was the claim, okay? But his company, which is true, is called JC23 Entertainment. Because he also is apparently obsessed with the number 23 and the law of fives. Chaos magic. Jim Carrey was into all that weird new agey stuff if you listen to a lot of his ramblings / teachings. Another idea about 23. 2 divided by 3. What's that equal? 0.666. It's true. Irrational on repeating decimal there. 0.666. Aleister Crowley. We talked about Aleister Crowley's connections in the first full-length show, but in the Book of Lies, he has a chapter 23 titled Skidoo, and that's where the term 23 Skidoo comes from. And in this chapter, he says, "Thou canst not get out by the way thou camest in. The way out is the way." What is he talking about? Well, he's talking about the same thing Charles Manson talked about. again, Manson was talked about in the first full-length show of this It analysis. And I wrote about, as you know, I was trying to write a book on Charles Manson. And in my notes, I remember this being a concept Manson was talking about. So I found in my notes, it said that, I'm going to read you my notes. That was going to be in the book. Prison life. Oh dear, I can't read it. Okay. Prison life was monk meditation for Charles Manson. He was able to project the entire universe, supposedly, from his cell. During his 1960s release, he found the world was illusory on both sides of the fence, and even the idea that one is inside or outside was a deception. One could be as free in prison as the real world. And you know, no one ever said Charles Manson was the most rational guy on earth, so, hey. But in Adam Gorelli's book, Shadow of Santa Susana, he quotes it out as this saying from Charles Manson: "The way out of the room is not through the door. Just don't want out and you're free." Man. The way out of the room is not through the door. Just don't want out and you're free. I mean, it makes sense, right? That's kind of the idea here. And if you look at the commentary on the Book of Lies, I looked through it, it says, both 23 and skidoo are American words meaning get out. This chapter describes the great work under the figure of a man ridding himself of all his accidents. He first leaves the life of comfort, then the world at large, and lastly, even the initiates. In the fourth section is shown that there is no return for one that has started on this path. Now, could it be that the initiates in here, the children, do in fact leave their lives of Derry, at Derry, and the other initiates? Maybe. That one might be a stretch, okay? Furthermore, we're going to talk about 23 a little bit more, and that is it for me. But the 23rd path on the Kabbalistic Tree of Life leads from Hod to Geburah on the Pillar of Severity. But what you need to know is that this is the path embodied by water and the Tarot Hanged Man card. Water, of course, is the abyss, which is where it resides in the film. The abyss is where the action goes down. That is, underwater, which is the talk in the first part of the It analysis. I talked about Charon Zone being the guardian of the abyss. So there you have it. That was my couple more takeaways from It Chapter 2. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you wanted more on it. I like the film. I'll probably watch it a third time. I don't know if I'm going to revisit it. I know you're probably tired of hearing about it, but yeah, pay attention to the social media feeds, I guess, if you want more. I'll drop this stuff over there. I just had too much to say about it to put on some posts, but yeah, and then look out for this new show I got coming out with this man named Solomon, and that is going to be quite the change of pace. You're going to really enjoy hearing what he has to say about the real Illuminati. So, until next time, stay woke.